Proverbs, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. 12th verse, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. With rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the limb. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. All right, the 18th verse of the 29th chapter of Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to say just a few things tonight. As I said before, I don't know just exactly what I can say tonight that will help you, but I'd like to try to say a few words. I might just stagger and stumble around here trying to get something over to you, but I want to try to say a little something to you. First of all, I wonder if any of you remember me making any statements not too long ago concerning Brother Joseph Branham at the Tabernacle. Does anybody remember me saying anything at all, Brother Bucky, some of you? I made some statements, and I said that at this time there would be a changeover from the old move of the William Branham Tabernacle, which has been that has been fading out and going out. The old move is a denominational move. Now, when I say this, you have to try to understand and interpret rightly what I'm trying to tell you. The old move is the Saul move. The old move is the Saul move. And when I say that, I don't mean Brother Branham, because Brother Branham was definitely typical of David in his day. But that move, which was a kingdom move, went into a veil, and that veil was a denominational move in the world. So then, denominations, whether Pentecostal denominations or whether it be the other denominations of the world, Baptist, Methodist, or whatnot, that is considered the move of Saul. And they're trying to laden the people down with all kinds of ritualistics, just as Saul did when he tried to put his armor on David and tried to get the armor to fit David and David to fit the armor. And you know that it doesn't work for a true Christian. That's a denominational move, the old Saul move. It doesn't work for a real true Christian. You can't laden him down with a lot of ritualistics. All he wants is the Word of God. That's all he needs. He's got a little slang called faith, and all he wants to do is get the Word of God. And Brother Gonzalez, if he can get the Word of God, everything will be all right. He doesn't need anything else. And so then it has been that in the past, this great move of Saul that has swept across the world has led to but one thing, and that one thing has been the leadership of Oral Roberts going to the world. Now, I don't mean that wrong. Brother Roberts was a great man in his day. But it only tends to lead the people into the entanglement of the world and the things that the people should not have any hand into. Now, I said that move would eventually fade away, and that'd be a great change.
And God would take that thing away because it was the veil. Then the Lord would do a new thing. God would come back with a greater thing. And I said the old thing sprang up from the William Branham move. The veil sprang up from the Brother Branham move and swept around the world. You've got to remember that Saul's ministry came from Samuel. Is that right? In other words, the same man that anointed Saul anointed David. Is that right? It was the same spirit, the same God, the same move. But Saul's move was a move that brought people into bondage constantly. It turned their minds to the natural or the beggarly elements of the world and took their mind away from the spiritual move or the revelation of God that was coming forth in that hour. Is that right? Now, that is the true fact. But I made the statement, I said that that move has come to an end. It is altogether at an end. This year is referred to as Holy Year by the Pope of Rome. I did not know that he was going to call this year Holy Year when I made the statement that this year would be the year that God would make his move in. I did not know that it was going to turn out that way. But there's one thing that I do understand, and that is that in the year that we're living in, that God is making a great move in the earth. I said that this would bring the end of the denominational move, and of course it is bringing the end of the denominational move. Brother William Branham being beyond the shadow of a doubt, the closing out of the church ages, it leaves the people in a position to where there is nothing else left to feed on if the church goes out. I made the statement that this had to do with it. I also spoke of going over to Brother Leon Wilson's and how that he also in the church there, the Assembly of God where we ministered, how it had to do with the closing out of the church ages. Some of you heard me. It's on tape, in case you don't remember. It seems like some of our folks don't have a very good memory. I ask them a lot of times if they remember things, and I can tell that they don't pay much attention to what I say because they don't seem to remember. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. So if I tell you something, that means faith cometh by hearing. You need to give the more earnest heed to it. But a lot of times you don't remember. But I made the statement that going over to Brother Leon Wilson's had to do with the closing out of the church ages. Some of you probably don't remember it. Some of you might remember it. But anyway, when we got there, we preached, had a wonderful time in God, and strange things took place. First of all, we went to a place called Sardis. How many of you are familiar with the Sardis church age? Are you familiar with it? About 1520 to 1750, you remember? About 1517, when Martin Luther took his 95 theses, went up and nailed them on the door of the Wittenberg German church. How many remember that? Reading about in history. That was the Sardis age. That was an age of reformation. It was an age where they were struggling to get out of the old system and get into a new system, to get away from the Catholic system and come into something new. It was about the time. Also, they were taxing the people to death, and they were looking for a new country. And you remember how 1492, long just before then, how that they discovered America. How many of you know anything about history in that way? All right, so then, about 1776, we got an independence out of it, which came along, we say, somewhere around the brotherly love age, which was the Philadelphian church age, which followed after the Sardis age, just before what we call the Laodicean church age that we're in now, of the lukewarm condition of people that are not spiritual and not concerned about the things of God. All right, now, in this age of Sardis, it was considered a dead age, and history states that it was more of a political struggle for political freedom than it was for religious freedom. Strange that at this very moment, when we said that things was taking a terrific change and changing from the old order to the new order, that all of a sudden we should be invited over to a place called Sardis. And I could say a lot of things about that tonight, but I'm tired in body, and you're probably too tired to listen. But I can say a lot of things tonight just about what went on over there. At first, we was at perhaps the biggest music hall, I believe they said, in Mississippi. But it was at a place called Stardust, which means escaping one or a way of escape. That is to say, the Martin Luther Reformation. But it's also referred to as a dead church age, because when the Lord spoke of it, he spoke of these people being dead in that age. All right, now, I want you to see something tonight, if you can. We went from there after about 2 or 3 days in the music hall. We went from there down below Batesville, Mississippi, and we went into Willow Springs Assembly of God. There, Brother Leon, having the same name that I have, the name spelt backwards is Noel. Here, Brother Leon Wilson accepted us into the church there at the Assembly of God about 14 years ago. We met Leon and led him into baptism in Jesus' name. And since that time, he has about got all of his congregation baptized. And though the authorities, the powers, the dignitaries come against him, yet through the grace of God and by faith, he continued on, and they did not excommunicate him. But I felt like when we went over this time that it would have to do with them drawing things down to a close. Now, the church ages was illustrated so beautifully during the period of time that we was over here at the church that Brother Wilson said, Brother Pike, I have preached in exactly 7 churches in the Assembly of God. Not only was it so beautifully illustrated that way, but at the same time, the eclipse of the moon started, and the 7th eclipse started and went into effect, and we said that it had to do with the midnight cry, and strangely enough, it started at midnight when it started its eclipse. That's a lot of coincidence, isn't it? But anyway, God willing to confirm it, we saw these great, outstanding things begin to take place. And I spoke of today and how typical today was in that we went up last night up here to Cleveland. Some of you remember when we went to Cleveland a long time ago and spoke about Cleveland, what it had to do with. When Jesus returned to the Mount of Olivet, he clave in hand. While I was preaching up there, I hit the woman preach a theory, and my congregation just about clave in hand. But it was so beautifully illustrated in what we was doing that while we was up there, the man's name was Bill. That goes back to something there concerning Brother Branham. It also was a 60 by 90 tent, the same color that the tent was when I was over in the valley in Alabama when a great cycle began. Not only that, but a brother Gerald Whitlow, was also there under the tent, just as he was back there many years ago in Alabama. Strangely enough, having to do with the rending of the veil, this brother had bought some stuff, some chemicals to put on his tent, and the seams had completely rent. He said he'd never seen nothing like it. He said, I take this tent down every day and put it back up, trying to sew it together. He said, don't ever put any of that stuff on your tent. Said it took every thread in the tent out. So then the veil was thoroughly rent as far as the tide. And to top it all off, Brother Harry Woods, you know, I spoke of the cross concerning Harry. And there Harry was, and I felt sure that Brother Bucky would be there. And Brother Bucky went up there with us and was there at the meeting. I saw some strange, outstanding things begin to take place as I began to watch to see just exactly what God was doing. Now, I can't go into the particulars tonight of each one of these things, but I just want to set them in a continuity, what little I can, of them, that you might, later on, I might bring out some things on them, or God might bring them back to your mind, and you might discover some things within them. So then, I was up there, I preached there at the meeting, and Brother Harry told me, afterwards, said, Brother Pike, there's some things I never seen there. He said, the way that you outlined that, said, I can see that this is the very end and everything coming together just beautifully. Said, it's working out just beautifully. And he really enjoyed the meeting. All right, coming back today, I was watching today. I knew today was real significant. We got the call concerning the sandstorms, if you can understand what God's doing in New Mexico. But at the same time, this very day, having to do with the closing out of the church age, it means that in the days of the closing out of the church age, it also means that grace is over for the church. And so today, my little Gracie had her seventh birthday today. Everything perfectly in line for the candles, and everything was just right. Johnny coming in, I just had been talking to the Lord, and the Lord showed me that He wanted me to go to Brother Delmer Baldwin and anoint Brother Delmer Baldwin to take Brother David Terrell's place. You can say nay or oh me or whatever you want to, but that's what God dealt with me about. The Spirit of God spoke to me today, and it was perfectly in line with the revelation of what Christ had already showed me was taking place. But it thrilled my heart and my soul as God began to speak concerning the revelation with what He wanted me to do. Now, I said that Brother Delmer would take the field this year. Some of you remember me saying that. Also, I want you to see something here. At the changeover, I made the statement that when Brother Taylor and I made the 6,000-mile trip in the Lincoln, that when we came back to El Paso, and that's where the tent is sitting now in Carlsbad, New Mexico, where I left the bath oil, when I made this trip last, I couldn't understand why, and the Lord showed me why. He's taken the tent right back where the oil was left, and out in that dry desert place, if anything ever needed some oil, they need something out there because it's dry and it's desert country. But anyway, New Mexico, Old Mexico, El Paso, which means the pass from the old to the new, which apparently was derived from the immigrating of the Spanish going from Old Mexico into New Mexico. I figure that's where it must come from, and we check it out in history. But anyway, it was on the 6,000-mile trip that I came around to the Rockies, and I spent the night over at El Paso. And when I spent the night there, I had just come through the Vale, I had just come through Lordsburg, and I had just come into El Paso, which was across the Rockies, the Great Divide, and I saw the Great Twister come, and I saw this great siege as it began to envelop the earth, and these things begin to happen in such a destructive way. I come back and spoke of it, and you know what a great, outstanding thing it was. I saw this, and when I went on down to Del Rio, I had the vision, and in the vision, I looked and I saw approximately 7 horses. I couldn't tell how many, but it appeared that there were 7 horsemen riding through the air. Big, bold, burly horses with great, huge men on them. Men, real men on them. Not a little skinny fella, but these men were great, muscular men that were sitting on these horses. I saw them as they began to ride through the heavens, and I looked up and I cried out, and I said, my father, and the horsemen thereof. And all of a sudden, the spirit of Elijah began to come down just like that. It came right down on me. When it came down on me, a broom came down out of heaven, and it appeared that I was just out of a western city, standing over in a dusty, dry desert area. And all of a sudden, there was a broom came down, and it just swept everything clean, which apparently had to do with those whirlwinds that came down, all these tornadoes that were sweeping the whole nation clean. I believe that's what it had to do with. All right, now, Brother Johnny today comes to tell his vision of the constellation of angels that he saw. That's strange that he come today on Grace's birthday. Strange that he come today when the Lord has spoke to me about Brother Delmer and the changeover, and strange that it was at the very time that we'd ended the 6,000-mile trip, which had to do with the 6,000 years, bringing in the millennium. It's strange that when we did that, coming down to Del Rio, seeing the vision of the change of Elijah and Elisha, that we went right to the very spot where Brother Delmer Baldwin later set the tent. Very strange that we went to that very spot with the white Lincoln and with the red automobile that Brother Taylor has. That's strange, isn't it? Not knowing that Brother Delmer was going to set it there, and I understand that Brother Delmer never knew what took place there. But nevertheless, right there as we sat and talked, the whirlybird dropped down out of heaven, and I saw that great whirlwind as the propeller caught it up in that dusty place. And Brother Taylor sitting there in that red car, and here the whirlwind come down in this red whirlybird there as it came down out of heaven just like Elijah's chariot. And the very same time, Brother Taylor declares that he had had Linda to turn and look for the passage of Scripture that I had quoted to him earlier in the day concerning my father, the horseman, the chariots of Israel, the horseman thereof, the same thing that I had quoted she was looking for. And just as the whirlybird dropped down out of heaven, she was sitting there reading to him, saying, my father, and the horseman thereof. Strange as it may seem, they kept saying, Elisha, you'll be separated from your head. When we got over to where Dale Evans' home is in Texas, you know, Roy Rogers being what they call King of the Cowboys is a headship out there. That, if you say king, it means a headship. When we got to the very place where she was born, her home, Brother Taylor and I got separated. And you know, Brother Taylor looks to this as being a headship, this message. But believe it or not, when we got to the very place where that was denoted, then we were separated. I tried my best not to be separated from him, but we were separated right there. We never come together until we got back up here. Now, these things are real strange. No matter how you look at them, you got to admit that they're really coincidental, or either they're the hand of God. The next strange part about it is that Johnny came this very day telling me of the constellation of the angels when we had purposed to go west. The same thing. Not too long ago, I was going west, and some of you remember it. While I was going west, I had gotten out in the west and apparently was somewhere in the west, and a voice spoke to me, and the voice said to me, said, what are you doing in the west? Said, you're supposed to be in the east. And so then I didn't go to the west. When I come out of the vision, I said, I'm not going to the west. And about that time, we got the invitation from Brother Ernie over in West Virginia. And there we went to West Virginia. And then we come back and everything appeared that it was moving westward. Now, Brother Johnny came along with his vision at the very time that we were intending to go westward. And said that he saw these seven angels form a constellation and said that we were caught up in it. Our bodily part was in the angelic catching up. The bodily part. And said Brother Jimmy Kirk, which means the church, moved into the same vapor, the same spiritual rapture, and was caught up with it. Apparently there was nothing that appeared in the cycle or the circle except that which typified the headship, the head being catching up the angelic part of it, which was that was in a motion there. All of it compiled together, the head coming to the church, Brother Jiminy noted, all of it caught up in a state of rapture, which indicates that there is a change that's about to take place in the New Mexico meeting. Now, with this, Brother Johnny came today. With this, strangely enough, I was thinking that as far as I know, since the time that this new tent, now remember, we went to Virginia. This tent that we gave Delmer was a virgin tent. It had never been used. Brother Delmer represents Mary the Virgin, and his cousin, Brother Calvin, represents Elizabeth. I'll see if that bears out. You say, oh, you're crazy. I know it's crazy. Remember, both Calvin and Brother Baldwin was working with us. All right, Brother Calvin turned to the woman side of it and went with Brother Terrell because Brother Branham's ministry denoted the woman side of it, which was the bride. Isn't that right? The Gentile perspective of it. All right, now, there Brother Calvin went with Brother Terrell to dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out. You know how I said that he would do that, and all of a sudden he said he was the seventh angel. Remember that? After I made the statement, I said I saw him come along and take my wife and go off my wife, and I said it has to do with the last move of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And sure enough, all of a sudden he published a book. And I said, when he come to Atlanta, Georgia, I said it has to do with it. And when he come to Atlanta, Georgia, I said he'd come into the revelation. And he went back and told how he'd come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, now, what I'm saying here is that Brother Calvin took Brother Terrell's old tent. He went and took Brother Terrell's old tent. Brother Terrell gave him all of his old tent. Now, Elizabeth had to do with John the Baptist, which was the old, which was the law that was going out. The law and the prophet still John. Is that right? He that's least in the body is greater. Is that right? Because he's bone of bone and flesh of flesh, the Son of God. Are you listening? So then, Elizabeth, which had to do with Brother Baldwin, taking the old tent. Here, Brother Delmer Baldwin and Brother Calvin Baldwin are cousins, just like Elizabeth and Mary. See, the old tent representing Elizabeth, is that right? But the new tent, being a virgin that was never used, is that right? The old heavy poles that went with Brother Terrell's tent, having the gravitational tie to the earth, the law and the prophets, but the light aluminum type poles, special poles, that's relative to these right here that's got the glass on them. This is part of the that which goes into the tent. That's where they come from. Having a rapture perspective. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, Brother Baldwin is changing over from Brother Calvin over to Brother Delmer. It happened right down there at Del Rio, Texas. Is that right? Del Rio, Texas, the river called the Silver Rio Grande River. The river is the river that Zebulun Pike discovered right there in Del Rio, Texas. This river is a boundary line between Old Mexico and America. That is the United States. That's the old and the new. Also, it's the same way over there with the Mississippi River. Zebulun Pike explored the most dense part of the Mississippi River. All right, now these things hold a great spiritual significance to what was taking place. Here the changeover took place in Del Rio. I saw the vision, where the vision was, and I saw the destruction that followed it. As far as I know, the change taking place, the old with Brother Terrell going over to Brother Calvin, the new from us going over to Brother Dell. Now, why was that? Because the 10 evangelists always represents the king in the Bible. How many of you know that? See, when the prophet Elijah was fixing to be caught away, the Lord spoke to him and said, go anoint Jehu king. Is that right? And anoint Elisha in thy stead. Is that right? That's the way it was. So then there was a new thing that was taking place. How do you understand what I'm saying? There was a new thing that was taking place. So then Calvin, Brother Baldwin had the old, and Brother Delmer had the brand new. Brother Terrell had given him the old. But I had given Brother Delmer Baldwin the brand new, which had to do with Jesus Christ. And so then, that tent in the change at Del Rio, Texas, as far as I know, that might have been different, but as far as I know, the tent has never been set for another meeting since the Del Rio meeting, as far as I know. They went to New Mexico to set it for a meeting, but as far as I know, they were not able to do it. Brother John was able to set his, I think, and as far as I know, Brother Delmer had meetings out there in the building. But to my knowledge, it has not been set again. There's one thing that I do understand. It's for sure that it hasn't been moved again. It's been moved from Del Rio at the time of the change, and it hasn't been moved again. Hasn't been moved. As far as I know, there's not been another meeting in it. Now, God preserving it all of this time since that change in Del Rio, waiting for that which I said was to take place over here in New Mexico. Not only that, but Brother Delmer Baldwin is not the type fella that will advertise a meeting for anybody else. And when Brother Delmer set up in New Mexico under ordinary conditions, Delmer would have advertised the meeting for himself. But Brother Delmer, somehow by constraint of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the mind of God, said, Brother Pike, I am going to build that meeting for you. And said, I want you to come and stay as long as you will. So it's obvious that from the change where it took place in Del Rio coming over, from that perspective, Brother Branham, we said he was the forerunner of the coming of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Brother David Terrell, dovetailing it out, making the same statements that God said for me to preach, Behold the Lamb, the same thing John said, making them one and the same. But then, with this perspective of it coming in, the new change was to take place, which positively has to do with the vision that we had down yonder in Del Rio. All right, now, there's been three visions that has been outstanding in connection with the 6,000-mile cycle. The first vision was that I had gone into a room and there was a woman standing there. There was, I believe, a couple of them. And I went in and one of them turned to me like this. And when they turned to me in the vision, this woman turned to me and said, You are William Branham. I said, No, I didn't say I was William Branham. She said, God doesn't make mistakes, that he knew what he was doing when he made you William Branham. I turned around and went out. When I went outside, I started to walk off, and somebody else repeated something similar. And then I walked off, and some things began to take place. All right, now, I'm not saying I'm William Branham. Brother Branham is dead. I'm not saying it. I'm telling you the vision, because it had a specific meaning. All right, then I made the 6,000-mile trip, and when I got down to Del Rio, Texas, then the spirit of Elisha came back on us in the vision, whereas they said that Brother Branham was Elijah. All right, now, God willing to confirm the more the preaching of the word in the things that I said, I get ready in the same cycle to go to New Mexico, and Brother Johnny gets a vision from God. The Bible said the preparation of a man's heart's from God, and he gets a vision from God of the constellation of the angels, again, 1, 2, 3, right straight along, just a few things to show that this message that's coming in now is the very same message that Brother Branham preached. It's the same Jesus that was in Elijah. It's the same God that's going to rapture the church and take the church out. Amen. It's the same God. There's no difference. Men die, but God moves on. Brother Gary said a lot of times, the Lord changes his mask. God moves on. One day he uses this man, the next day he uses another man, but God moves on. Isn't that right? All right, now, I want to look at it just a little bit closer if I get a little more water. All right, now, a strange thing happened the other day. I had written a song that was called The Sands of Time. We never sang it here, but they probably will. When I wrote it, I didn't know that there was a poem that was written about the footprints of the sands of time. Brother Lamar was telling me about it, said it was in Brother Branham's book, but when he checked it, it's not called The Sands of Time or The Footprints of the Sands of Time. There's another name. But anyway, I wrote this, and when I come back that very day, Brother Branham's book had come on footprints on the sands of time. All right, now, the strange part of this book came back. I didn't know that Brother Lamar Couch had sent me this book. Sister Betty had picked up one of those little coupons or whatever it was and filled it out and sent it in for the book. I didn't know. Seemed to me like I might remember saying something about it, but I'm not sure. But anyway, she sent it on. Brother Lamar Couch is working up there at the Spoken Word. And Brother Lamar was there when the order came in, so he just sent mine right on down to me. I was real thrilled to get my book because it's compiled things concerning the life of Brother Branham. All right, now, after this book came back, Brother Lamar came to visit with me. That was yesterday. And Lamar was visiting with me the first time his mother's ever been up, which really had a significance. But here, Brother Lamar was visiting with me. How many remember I said he represented the followers of Brother Branham? All right. Here was Brother Lamar visiting with me. Now, Lamar was all excited. I couldn't tell just exactly what it was. And he said, Brother Pikes, and it's just some little something. He said, happened, but said, I just got to tell you. Said, I just had to tell you. Said, this thing, said, it really got him. He said, it really shook him up, the way it talked. Though it was seemed to be a simple little thing, he said, it really shook him up. Brother Lamar had heard me say a lot of things concerning Brother Branham and Jeffersonville, Indiana, and concerning the Utica Pike meeting, you know, where the lost and found of that which was lost to Brother Branham. He heard me say some of these things, and then he heard me speak of Joseph Branham. All right, Brother Lamar said, Brother Pike said the other day over at the Spoken Word, he said it was about lunchtime or break time. Said, I don't know whether it was break time or lunchtime. Said it had to do with food, you know, and drink. And said, I was sitting down there, and Joseph is a foreman over there. And he said, I was sitting there, and said, I was sitting over here on the left. And said, Joseph was sitting beside me here in the middle. And said, Brother Mike was sitting over here on the right, probably Michael. But his name was Mike, sitting on the right. He said, while we were sitting there, said, all of a sudden, the Brother Andrus, which is the administrator, somehow connected with the Spoken Word, said he came out the door of his office. And he said that Joseph and Brother Andrus wasn't, you know, they didn't get along too well anyway, the way he expressed it. It appeared that way. But said, here the brother came out. And said, when the brother came out, said he walked right over to Joseph. And said, when he walked over to Joseph, he pulled a pen out of his pocket, or had a pen in his hand. And said, Joseph, said, Brother Pike sent you a pen. As he did, he handed Joseph one of our pens from the school here. Now, I remember I said that it had to do with the Jordan, crossing the Jordan, the children, and the school and everything. On this pen, you know, it has Hope on it, which is Brother Brandon's first wife, Hope's Christian Academy. All right, now he walked out there and he handed him this pen. When he handed him this pen, it really shook Lamar up. Lamar said it really got him, said he looked at Brother Andrus and he said, why did you give him this pen? Said, you got other pens in there. And of course, you know, there's other people around. Said, what made you come over and give him this pen? Now, first of all, the way the pen got there, Sister Betty had dropped a pen in the envelope. And she didn't know who it was going to. She didn't say give it to anybody. She just dropped it in the envelope because she was writing one of the books. She had no idea that Joseph was going to get it. But some of you know how I spoke of Joseph. I said he's directly connected with the revelation of Jesus Christ, not with the old move, but with the new move. All right, when Brother Andrus come out, now there's one chance in a million that this could happen, but it came out, he handed him the pen. When he handed him the pen, he began to read it. He began to read, Hold us unto the Lord, and Brother Lamar related how he read it right on down. And Brother Lamar, being shook up over it, he said, I want to know why you did it. Said the man was he didn't have any words to express himself, so he just finally said, Brother Pike, I don't know what he said. Said he said one of two things, and I'm going to tell you the two things. He said, him and Brother Pike believes a lie. And then he said he either said that, or Brother Pike said he turned and said, because Brother Pike is Brother Joseph's pastor. He said one of those two things, and I can't remember which one it was. Said, but I know that he said those two things. All right, now, about that time, Brother Joseph got interested and said, I want to know who this Brother Pike is, I believe, or this Monroe, Georgia. I'd love to know what's going on. All right, Brother Lamar said that they kind of turned it into, you know, the ones around him kind of turned it into a joke. Because you know how they feel about Brother Branham. But the Lord has his way in the good and evil. So they begin to kind of, you know, say little gestures about it while Joseph was listening. And Brother Lamar spoke up. And Brother Lamar really said some wonderful things about, you know, the brotherhood here and about us and what was going on. Now, but anyway, their little gesturing went on, God having his way. And as Brother Lamar began to speak well of us, he said, Brother Boulder stepped through the door and gesturing with him, said, Brother Boulder said, you know, something about Lamar, didn't know you cared that much or thought that much of it. You know, he was saying something about us down here. Well, while Joseph was saying, who is this, Brother Pike? Somebody back over here behind him also entered into the little gesturing, you know, and said, why don't you know? Said, he's a prophet too. All right, now, during this time, Joseph got up, and Joseph started walking off, and Lamar was still shook up over it. So Lamar went over where Joseph was, and Joseph pulled the pen out of his pocket and started to read again. They started a conversation again. Finally, when Joseph got over to where it says hope, you know, it's got apostrophe in it, apostrophe and an S. And so Joseph just gesturing like, you know, showing Lamar that he understood what it was. Said he said, Lamar said, this is this in this hope. Said, you see that? Said, that's apostrophe. Said, that means possessive. Said, possessive, Lamar. And stuck it in his pocket and turned and walked on. Hallelujah. God has his way in the good and in the evil, don't he? So then one thing, one chance in a million that Joseph Branham would take the revelation of Jesus Christ, stick it in his pocket, and say this is possessive. That's one chance in a million. Especially coming from the children, it sounds like a wild thing when you say these things. But God willing the more to confirm it, brought it to pass just exactly, didn't he? So then the foolish and abased things to confound the wise. Now there is a lot of things that's taking place that is really shaking people up. They are beginning to see these little foolish, abased things begin to fit themselves together until they're really shook up over it. Now, can I say just a few more things here before closing? And I'll close. I'm not going to try to get into a whole lot. I want to relate a few things tonight, and if you give me just a few more minutes, I will. I'm still tired, but I want to relate a few more things. I believe that we're down at the end of the way. There is a lot of things tonight that I can go into and say concerning these things step by step. Such a great multitude of things till we'd have to write a book even on the latter part of what God's doing here. But I want to show you tonight that we're at the end. How many of you remember I spoke of the charismatic thing? How many remember that? Betty, do you have that paper with you tonight? I intended to get that paper. I wanted to read that paper here tonight. I wish that we had it. Brother, would you go get it for me, Mitch? All right, Sister Betty, tell him how to get it there. Oh, that's right. I'll give it to him. He's got it in the office. I forgot about that. All right, that's good. Now, we'll get Mitch up here and let him read this to you. And I'd like for you to listen real close now. I told you, I said the other day, there'd be a move in the earth that would gather all the false together. It would be a miracle-working thing. Now, where the world is going to lose out and get overthrown is, the Bible said it would be so close to deceive the very elect if it was possible. The world is expecting to be deceived by some ugly, cruel, beast-looking fella that's going to climb up on a throne and pop a whip and make everybody do opposites to him. But I tell you this, and I told you before, the world will be deceived by the working of miracles. You can say what you want to, but all these tents moving across the country, you better watch what's going on. Because the deception is going to be through miracles. A lot of people don't believe that, but that's true. Let me say this just before Mitch comes up to read. It's going to be through lying signs and wonders. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if it's lying signs and wonders, it won't be any miracles. It will be miracles. Let me explain this just for a minute now. It will be miracles. After Mitch reads a little bit here, I'm going to explain some things and what I understand right hurriedly so as not to keep you. And I'm going to show you something here if I can. First of all, I'll say this just before he reads, that they've got the cart before the horse. I said this the other night. God did not give his word to lead the people to gifts and to miracles. God never gave the word for that. When a man takes the word of God to lead people to gifts and to miracles, he's backing up and he is contrary to the word of God. God gave the gifts of the Spirit to lead people to the word of God and to develop the mind of God, which is the word of God, within the human heart, that he might have a world to come a people with the mind of Jesus Christ that will be subject to His will. And when you reverse it, you are in trouble. You're commercializing off of the gospel. All right, I'd like for Mitch to carefully take his time and read aloud, if you will, so they can understand. It
says, in searching for an answer, let us examine the origin of the word charismatic, which the Catholics have given this movement. First, the word charisma means to have personal magic or magnetism, having the ability to draw disciples after oneself. And having this personal experience of magnetism, there is given the power to speak in tongues, associating it with the accounting of Acts 2 of the tongues of fire. Second, the word charisma is derived from the word charis. Who was charis? Now read closely, carefully, and prayerfully. Charis was supposedly a woman who married the Roman god of fire, Vulcan. How wise is the serpent? How cunning the mystery of iniquity? In Roman mythology, Vulcan was the god of fire. He was patron of blacksmiths and metalworkers. It is said he caught Venus, the Roman goddess of love and beauty, with her lover Mars in the net of iron. Vulcan married Venus, but she grew tired of him, at which time he married Charis. Rome has always had the spirit of iniquity to mix part truth with a lot of mythology, paganism, and outright deception. The real meaning of charismatic is the power of the tongues of fire for personal magnetism given by the union of a pagan Roman god to a sinful woman. Now we can see why the whore and the harlot daughters are accepting this movement, because it came out of her and is nothing more than a calculated deception of the devil to deceive the multitudes. How cunning is the devil?
I thank the Lord for the readings of this. The other day when I was talking to you, and in the past when I said something about the charismatic move, I knew nothing of these. This is something that's just come out. People have just dug this up. God's brought a truth out, always giving us a confirmation of what we say. We say it a little later, He confirms it by some document or something. But see, the charismatic move, I said that it would envelop the people. It would outreach the National Council of Churches and everything. Now, the Assemblies of God is listed on this paper right here, and the Church of God is also listed on this paper right here as an affiliate with the National Council of Churches. It's got their name, got the volume where to turn to find in the volume that you know, you have to look for it in the library books and so forth. It's got it in there just exactly where to find it that shows the Church of God is connected with it and the Assemblies of God. Now, the whole thing coming together, and I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen. I said that there would be an outburst among the youth at this time, for it was the crossing of the Jordan. And I said that in that the elders would die in their paganistic religious origins of denominationalism, and the children would rise up and go over, which is the charismatic move. The charismatic is going to sweep across the youth like fire. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? It's going to pervert. It's going to allow for everything. It's going to allow for lipstick and bob hat and everything. There's going to be blood crosses and all and everything else. Lying, signs, and wonders. Now you watch and see. The charismatic move already, since I made the statement that there would be an immediate outburst among the youth, I found out that they have banded together in the charismatic move. 50,000 youth has banded together to pray continually for the great outspreading of this thing. It is sweeping so vehemently that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and everybody, including the Catholic, is literally swallowed up in the charismatic move. Now, it allows for magic. It comes from the word magic. You heard what was said tonight. There's two or three things that can be pointed out there. First of all, it connects it with a god of fire. That means that at the time the charismatic move comes, it will have to do with the Pentecostal move, Well, I said years ago, I said the whole world will turn Pentecostal, and the Catholics, I saw the Baptists speaking in tongues, and all of them will turn Pentecostal, and when they turn Pentecostal, it will denote at that time the liberation of the Jews. Are you listening now? That will be their liberties of coming out of bondage, going into their Canaan land. That is having religion mixed with their paganistic practices, just exactly like they did in 312 when Constantine come in there and consolidated his kingdom by bringing the paganistic practices into the church, such as basketball and football and all the things they had in that day. That was a forerunner of this that we have now. Consolidated the kingdom and made allowance for it. My brother, according to the Holy Ghost, what he's shown it has come to pass exactly that way, right down the T. It was so perfect that today I told Brother Johnny, I said, today, Johnny, has to do with your liberation. Is that right, Johnny? I said, it has to do with your liberation, which is the Pentecost, of doing something for your people. And this meeting has to do with the black man becoming a government. Now, you watch and see what I'm telling you. It's like all the other things. Watch and see. I said, with this, it has to do with Pentecost and your liberation, which is the apostolic foundation. Is that right? Johnny was talking about being nervous. Well, I've got some vitamins that come from California. Now, you know, California's a type of the garden in the trend of natural things going that direction. Type of Egypt in the spiritual coming back. You know what I'm talking about. I got some vitamins from California. And I said, well, Johnny, I got some vitamins. I said, they're good for your nerves. They're strained. You're a little nervous. I felt impressed to give him some of them. So I told Betty, I said, get him some of them. And when I did, the Lord spoke, and we began to watch, and it was the golden 50 vitamins coming from the garden now, the fall of the man in the darkness coming back into light. And when she brought them, I thought, now there'll probably be 12 vitamins in that little rolled up piece of paper. I opened it up. I said, tell him, Johnny. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I said, 12. Exactly 12. The foundation, Pentecost, the crossing over, God having his way in the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Everything working exactly perfect. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's working exactly perfect. The church age is closing out. These different things coming. Now listen, right hurriedly as I try to close. The charismatic move, you see, by this, its origin is from Catholic. Is that right? That's why the Catholic approved it. It's a mythology thing, a magic thing, a make-believe, lying signs and wonders. It'll go right back to its paganistic bonds child over in the land of Egypt. Is that right? Cursed is the one that goeth down into Egypt for his help, or leaneth on the arm of flesh, and all of the world is turning to Egypt for the help. They'll be cursed of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? Since the oil broke loose, all of them going to Egypt. All right, now, because there's a curse upon Egypt. But now listen, this charismatic move, its origin is paganistic, coming from the Catholic Church. It ties itself in with the god Vulcan, which is called the god of fire. It goes right back to paganistic Rome. And the bride of that move, or the woman of that move, will be a cigarette-sucking, lipstick, knee-bop, streetwalker, and everything else will go into that and think they got God. Now watch and see. They'll be deceived. The hearts of the simple will be deceived. It'll be a great revival, and the Baptists will speak in tongues, and the Methodists will speak in tongues, and the Catholics will speak in tongues, and all of them will go Pentecost. And just like I made the prediction, after I made it, you know I said to you the other night that the Pope of Rome was the leader at the Pentecostal festival and accepted the charismatic movement. At this very time, they are examining tongues at the Baptist convention over in Florida. As a matter of fact, Paul Crumpton, the man that we bought our typewriters from down here, was speaking to us about it. He was talking about the convention. I said, I know that they're discussing tongues over there. All right, now, it is at the very moment that this charismatic move, which is the gathering of the image of the beast by means of miracles, take place. Pentecostal move, which is the jubilee, the breaking of the bondage, the freedom, At that time, the rapture of the church, when all of the world will become one great confederation in their frolic and take religion to substantiate it, at that very moment, the revelation of Jesus Christ is supposed to cover the world and reach and get its membership and pull it together for the image of God and for the head. I know some of you don't believe it, but it's absolutely the Word of God. It's going to happen just exactly. Your old carnal mind, you come to me and you say, I believe it, Brother Pine. And you come and you say, I see it, Brother Pine. But that's not good enough. Moses saw it, but he didn't go into it. Some of you have never gotten into it. You say you see it, and your carnal mind talks you out of it 15 minutes after I've said something. You've not got into it. But I'm speaking of those that's going to be a membership of it. You're going to be caught away and raptured. It's going to move at the same time that the charismatic movement comes about. And I'm going to close here. I want you to listen to this. First of all, remember this. The Bible said, and I remind you again, that out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, the beast, and so forth, there came three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of their mouth. Now, when we think of an unclean thing, we think of a dirty diaper. We think of an old dog that got mange, and we think of an old hog that wallowed in a mud hole. And that's the way it looks to God. But this unclean thing will be painted up in lipstick and ear bobs and pretty dresses and money and fine arrayed in purple and all of that. And yet she's dirty and filthy with abomination in the sight of God. But she's going to sparkle to them that look on the outward appearance. Three unclean spirits. You understand what I'm saying? Out of their mouth. That means it is a doctrine that will go forth, a spoken something, a spirit is the word. It will go forth out of their mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Three, which means a Trinitarian doctrine, will sweep around the earth in a Trinitarian means, which will be the charismatic move, and it will be, the Bible said, they will go forth to work miracles. Are you listening? Somebody said lying signs and wonders. It didn't say a thing about lying signs and wonders. It said they will work miracles by means of Trinity. They will work miracles to gather the world, all of the world, the Bible said, together to the battle of Armageddon in the mighty day of the Lord. Now, it is a Trinitarian teaching that come up from 325 A.D. that's unclean in the sight of God. It's not God at all. They will work miracles because demons are fallen angels, and angels have power. God gave the angels power, for the Bible said they're greater in power and might than human beings. They are spiritual powers that have fallen from their first estate. They are veiled in human bodies, and they are powerful enough that they can work miracles. All powers of God. God creates a good and evil as we in both. He's the one that gave them their power. It's just like perverted life. Life in a rat is perverted. Are you listening? I said rat life is perverted, but it's still the same life in a dog. The dog's life, the rat life, the man's life, all of its life. But it's being used perverted. A drunkard or a harlot will take the same life that I take to pray with, and he'll take that same life to drink and commit evil with. They'll take the same power of God that we work miracles with for the cause of Jesus Christ and being angels wherein God gave them power as angels, and they'll pervert it in a perverted youth and turn right around, and the Bible said that the head that was wounded to death was healed. And we know that there's no resurrection except the power of God. But that head that was wounded to death was healed and resurrected. How did they do it? By the grace of God. My brother, in the days of grace, you can work miracles. That's the reason I stay on you all the time. The Bible said a sinful and adulterous generation is seeking after a sign, and they're just ready for that charismatic move. They don't want the word. They don't want to travail. They don't want to come into the image of God. The Bible said they don't like to to retain the knowledge of God in their hearts. They just want the blessings of God, but they want to waller in the hog pens of the world. They want basketball and baseball and every kind of filth that there is, but they still want the blessings and health of God. They want healing. You can have a healing campaign. They'll come to that and support it because they want healing. They don't get it there to go to hospital. They'll do that. That's why these evangelists commercialize off of human souls and take this thing, but they won't come to the name Jesus because the name Jesus casts out devils. They won't come to that. They'll be churchy, do anything else. But how do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to be a deception by means of miracles. They're going to work miracles. These spirits went out and worked miracles. And that wound in the head of that beast, the Bible said it was healed. It didn't say it was a lying sign and wonder that appeared to be healed. The Bible said it was healed. The lying sign and wonder part of it is that life in a rat is perverted and it appears to be life. And you take that little old rat, he might look pretty and you might rub him and you might think he's a fine little fella. But you turn your back and cut out the light, and he'll be in every decent thing you got and ruin everything you got. Is that right? Same way with roaches and pestilence and everything else. That's the lying part of it, is that when the charismatic thing starts in the days of grace, all the ministers of Satan's got to do is just believe because there's no need for works in the days of grace. Satan works by faith. The Bible said he believes. You say, how can that be? Now, a lot of people say, I don't believe that. Well, tell me one thing. If it isn't the power of God, tell me this one thing. Why is it when Satan went down into the pit, it was said to him, have you altogether become as one of us? Are you the one that made the kings to tremble? Are you the one that turned the world into a wilderness? Now the whole earth is at rest since you laid down. Are you become altogether weak like us? Where did his power go to? If he had his power, if it's his power, it looked like he'd still had it. You understand what I'm saying? The days of grace was over. He was cast out of heaven. He couldn't stay there. Now, that means that these men are taking a Trinity doctrine and doctrines of devils and everything else, and miracles are still taking place. Because God's poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. The lying sign and wonder part is that it is a deception because it appears to be God. It appears to be God behind the thing when God isn't behind it. But it's the ministers of Satan transform themselves into ministers of the Word, which is light. Satan quoted it to Jesus. And faith in those promises in the days of grace brings those promises to pass. That's why sometimes a person will live like the devil and get their healing, when another person will die a good, saintly person. You say, I don't believe it. It's true anyhow. It's true anyhow. It actually happened. As the woman healed in the church of God over in Thomason was one of the worst women in the church. She was known to be one of the worst. Strip off every which way, but she was healed. She was eat up with cancer, but she was healed. I believe it was her. You understand what I'm saying? So then the lying part is everybody say, hallelujah, glory to God, God's with us. We can go out swimming in our bathing suits. We can frolic around. We can dance. We can curse. We can cheat. We can smoke. We can have a good time, do anything we want. Hallelujah, God understands. Grace takes care of us. Faith, that's all he preaches, faith in the atonement. Faith will take care of us, nothing to worry about. And they leave off the spirit of holiness altogether. But I'm going to tell you something. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. In the millennium, it'll be holiness unto the Lord. God is the spirit of holiness. And the Bible said, perfect in holiness unto the Lord, which without no man shall see God. Now, so they can frolic, holler, jump, whatever. But when it comes down to the end of the trail, it's going to be holiness. It's holiness or hell. All right, now, how do you understand what I'm saying? The charismatic move is on. The move of the devil is on. The move of God is on. Some of you sitting right here is going to be caught in the move of the devil. Now, listen at me. I can tell by your spirits. I can tell by your minds. I can tell by your attitudes. I can tell by the hunger and the thirst toward worldly things. I can tell by the irreverence and the unbelief in what I'm telling you that you are of the devil and you're going to be caught in the devil's web. And watch and see. Watch and see. You don't believe that, do you? But you will. But I've got a few. Not many will make it, but few. Few. All right, you love the Lord? You want me to tell it like it is, don't you? That's a little saying in the world. Tell it like it is. That's the way it is. That's the way the book tells it. All right, I love you. and I want to help you. I said many years ago, Old Roberts would lead him into that. God showed me he would. Through basketball, he'd fall away, and he did it. Brothers, you can believe this or not, but I just got a report yesterday, and I said that Brother Branham was over and gone. And believe it or not, at this point when things are changing, I just learned that William Branham Tabernacle has got a softball team. Brother Morris said he'd been playing on it. But he talked like he kind of got convicted over the thing. What is it? It's Rome coming in. It's Reed coming in. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If Brother Pike ever starts getting up a basketball and a baseball team, I want you to come up and you say, you hypocrite, I thought you had something in your life. And if you ever start getting up a basketball and a baseball team, I'm going to say, you hypocrites, I'm leaving. And I'm going to leave. We're not going to have no basketball and baseball and all of this kind of stuff out in the world. It's of the devil to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and it passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Basketball is of the devil. Baseball is of the devil. And every other paganistic Roman game is of the devil. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean it's wrong for me to get out there and my little boys to play ball? If your little boys want to get out there and play ball, if they want to play horseshoe, if they want to turn flips, if they want to go in water, whatever they want to do, as long as they're decent, there's nothing wrong with it. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when grown people start getting into paganistic practices, it's on the devil. It's the carnal mind that's enmity with God, and it will cause you to lose your soul. Praise God. I know you might not be as friendly to me after this as you have before, but that's the way it is. You fellas that watch these things on television and listen at them on the radio and listen to a little hillbilly music and a little country music, and you say orchestra music, it is so soothing. Some of you will turn on, they got all day stations somewhere, comes out of somewhere, and some of them will turn them on here and there and everywhere in the car and wherever they can, and they say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Certainly you don't. How in the world could the devil see anything wrong with what he's doing? The carnal mind don't see nothing wrong with what the devil's doing. But I'm telling you, it's of the devil and it's wrong. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's the way the Church of God slid in. That's the way the Assemblies of God slid in. I remember the Church of God when she was a great move of God. And the first thing they did was have a dispute when they got the tree of knowledge called the college. Are you listening? When they got it up there and they decided they didn't know whether they wanted to wear finger rings or not, and they had a dispute, so they slipped a little, and somebody said, well, I don't see where a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. I just don't see it. Somebody said, well, let's give it a try and see. So they slipped in and they got a little leaven, and after a while they said, we agree, it leavened the whole lump, but what can we do about it? It's all leaven anyway. Let's just go and have a good time. Are you listening? That's where it started. The little foxes spoil the vines. All right, let's stand together. You say, Brother Pike, are you against finger rings? I'm against sin. Anything that's sinful, I'm against it. It don't make no difference where it leads to if it's sin. Whatever's godly, I believe in it being godly. Whatever's wrong is wrong. I don't believe. Somebody long ago said, well, we've got to have some recreational means for our children. So then we've got to have recreational means. We're going to put up a pool hall. We're going to put up a basketball court. We're going to put up this. And we're going to say, well, what is the children going to do? They ought to fast and they ought to pray. If Jesus at the age of 12 was about his father's business, then they ought to get God-minded. Somebody said, well, we got to win them. That's the only way I know to do it, is let them play a little basketball. And you call that winning them. You must be out of your mind. People that talk about winning people to God, letting them play basketball and do the thing, you must be slapped out of your spiritual mind. Even a spiritual child will know better than that. You can't feed a man poison and expect him to grow up to be a healthy man. Folks, there's only one way to develop a child. Let's train him up in the way he's supposed to go, and the way he's supposed to go is the Bible. That's the only answer to it. You can substitute all you want to, but they used to have a hickory, they used to have a plow, and they used to have a field. And they used to plant a collard green. And they told them about Jesus and took them to church. And it turned out right. Now we got a college and we got a coach and we got a basketball team. And we got a doctrine and we got a discipline.
and we don't see any need in correction, and we got a bunch of hippies, we got a bunch of sodomites, we got a bunch of everything but godly people. Is that right? There ain't but one way. That's the right way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. That's the word way. I love you. See, there's a right way. Somebody come to me the other day. I told them, some of the painters, I said, don't go over here painting no juke joints, painting beer joints and all. I said, stay away from them. Don't go over here laying tile on swimming pools and all these kind of things. Somebody said, well, we got to make a living. That don't make no difference, Brother Pike. You're absurd. I'm not absurd. The Bible said, stay away from it. Touch not, taste not anything whereby the soul is to perish after the using of the commandments and doctrines of men, and anything that has to do with the natural thing, whether it's commandments or doctrines or whatnot, stay away from it. Shun the very appearance of evil. Now, somebody said, well, I don't believe you ought to wallow in a slop hole, but I don't see nothing wrong with making a slop hole for you to wallow in. Well, I do. I do. You love the Lord? That's how whiskey got in. I ain't going to drink no whiskey, but I don't see why we're wrong in taking the taxes off of it. Just guilty of murder, that's all. Every time it's a murder, every time there's a maniac like up here in North Georgia, just ain't been but 2 or 3 days ago, I believe, or just back a few days ago, some sex maniac took a little 7-year-old girl, raped the little thing, and then split its throat. That's all. You fellas that get the taxes, that's all. You're just a bunch of murderers, that's all. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, I believe it ought to be right. I told them, I said, don't go over and paint those things. Already they're having some trouble because they did it anyway. I said, don't do it. I said, you do that to get a little money and God will take 10 jobs away from you. You compromise a little to steal something from your brother and God will shut you down. You say a little word over here to tear your brother down to build you up and God will put you out of business. Now, I say this, that it might not be a snare to you. If there's a grocery store and it's built for a grocery store, if they sell beer in it, if fear gets into it, that's a different thing because that was built for a grocery store. And people go there to get their groceries at. And you can't help that, and there's nothing wrong with you painting it. Stay away from the wrong in it. You got a house down here, they might turn it into a juke joint, they might drink, they might bubble in their beer, they might watch ungodly television, all that. But when you paint that house was put there for a home to live in. Jesus made allowance for a home. What they doing there, you have nothing. But now, if you know that thing is designated for a juke joint, you stay away from it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a right way, and there's a wrong way. Love not the world, neither the things in the world, but be wise. Use the things that God's give you, and take care of them, because they're precious in your sight, if you're a wise man. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again that I didn't mean to hold you this long. I want to say a few things, and I hope that I've said something that might help you. If I'm telling you the truth, folks, then we're down at the end of the way, and you need to rise up and do something. I believe that this 4th of July camp meeting really will tell the tale. Brother Joseph Branham is directly connected with it, and I believe that we'll see something that'll show that. Let's everybody sing the little chorus. We sing that chorus often. I'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about